I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. There was a wake last night for the English-language newspaper The Exile. It took place in a Moscow strip club. It was a fitting end for the irreverent Moscow paper. The Exile's demise won't sadden Russian authorities. It gained a small but loyal readership for lampooning Russian officials and pulling pranks. Trouble began for the paper earlier this month when government officials arrived on the scene for an unplanned audit. Russian authorities didn't actually close the paper, but the audit was enough to scare off investors, says editor Mark Ames. Ames says in the end, The Exile's mocking tone may have led to its downfall.
We actually got the notice of the audit right as we were putting the last issue to bed. And so we changed the cover and I changed what the kind of main story would be so that it would have resonance if we really were shut down and that was our last issue. So the cover was a parody of Good Night and Good Luck, you know, Edward Murrow.
Right.
And the tagline was, we took the tagline, we just changed it from the original movie poster. In a country where the citizens are terrorized by their government, one newspaper dared to fart in its face. That's what the headline says. I mean, the newspaper has always been a sort of a cult, much more of a writer's project, whereas as a business project, it's a total failure, and it's always been kind of a failure. But the minute the government trained its eye on it, given what's happened to people over the last 8 years who have been seen to oppose the Kremlin, people immediately cut their ties with us and backed away. And quite frankly, you know, I don't blame them.
You
and
don't blame
really,
them.
No, I mean, it's a scary place. It's scary to think, you know, that the government has its sights trained on you here and that they don't like what you're writing. And the consequences, I mean, for the consequences for me as a journalist and for the others, you know, they're not quite as bad as for let's say, the local businessmen who have assets that could be stripped away, as we've seen, you know, with other people who've fallen on the wrong side of the Kremlin. Oil companies have been taken away from people and so on and so forth. We journalists were in the business of trying to fight for free speech and freedom of expression. So it makes more sense that we'd stand up for it.
And you did that. You waged that fight for free speech in sometimes novel ways. Give us a better sense. Give our listeners a better sense of what The Exile was best known for. What kind of things did you do? What did you write? And who was reading it?
It's a newspaper that we were constantly told was something you just can't do. And it always met a lot of opposition along the way because we have this kind of what seems to be a strange mix of really vicious, no-holds-barred satire and then real political commentary, investigative journalism, media commentary and criticism. The biggest problem with The Exile is its style and its tone. The people in power now, they can handle, particularly in print form, they can handle serious, mainstream, dull criticism of you know, Putin's human rights records or his you know, his rollback of democracy, so long as the debate is framed in understandable, serious, bland tones. And the problem with The Exile is it's doesn't really have boundaries. It's rather anarchic, and for a regime which is really obsessed with total control, I think deep down, that is really the most kind of dangerous or subversive thing about The Exile. I think, you know, in some ways, people were attracted to The Exile because of our crazy pranks, and it seems sort of like a daredevil newspaper in this really violent, wild, decadent city. People were kind of watching us. I suppose they watched us kind of like, you know, like wondering when we were going to get killed or beaten up or shut down.
Well, give us an example of what you did so we know why somebody would, you know, want to shut you down or even kill one of your journalists.
Well, 4 years ago, we did something called, it was 101 Reasons Why Vladimir Putin is a Fascist. And on the cover, we'd photoshopped Putin's head into the body of a little Hitler Jugend kid with Hitler himself leaning down, scratching his chin with a big smile on Hitler's face. At that time, Putin's regime was turning kind of a corner and canceling elections here and clamping down on dissidents and so on. And we just thought we'd take the lead on it. But what happened, the result of it was some unpleasant phone calls, a lot of our distribution points, probably up to a third of our distribution points, just threw the newspaper out and refused to ever have us in again because they were scared for the most part. They didn't want then somebody, some cop or somebody coming in and seeing that advertisers dropped us. I mean, that's one example. We're also known for doing all sorts of pranks. I mean, in the beginning, in the first year of the paper, we pranked Mikhail Gorbachev. We said that we were representatives from the New York Jets, and the Jets were having problems back then in 97. And we said that we needed to somehow turn the team around. We thought that Gorbachev would be a good pep talker. So we wanted to hire him as the perestroika coordinator, because perestroika basically means turning something around. And we got his people to agree in fax form that he would consider it for $150,000. And we printed the fax of it and everything, the whole back and forth. You know, the papers always kind of crossed the line.
That's pretty out there. I mean, it sounds like The Exile is kind of a cross between Jon Stewart's The Daily Show and Punk'd. Was anybody taking it seriously and looking at you guys as a real barometer of what was happening in the Kremlin?
Yeah, well, they obviously take us seriously because they just shut us down. I mean, from the beginning, one of our writers from the very beginning has been Edward Limonov. And he's had a regular column in our paper. And Limonov is sort of one of the most famous, if not the most famous, within Russia, the living writer. He's one of the two leaders of the anti-Kremlin opposition, along with Garry Kasparov, the chess champion. And Limonov has been writing for us from the beginning, and he has also kind of comes from a punk aesthetic ideological background. And so his articles are pretty aggressive also.
Now, personally, you have a rather complex relationship to the powers that be in Russia. I mean, you've been poking fun of them in The Exile on one hand, and then on the other, you're filing pieces for Russia Today, which is a government-financed English language news channel. How do you square that?
I actually didn't work for Russia Today, but in any event, my shows were shown on Russia Today. I mean, we stopped making them over a year ago, but as I understand it, they still show them. For me, there's nothing to square. It's sort of like asking, why can you have satire and serious political commentary? I mean, obviously it didn't soften one iota anything we did in The Exile, and obviously it didn't buy me any goodwill from the government, because I'm the only American journalist I know of and I've ever heard of that became the subject of a government audit of his articles.
It does seem kind of weird, though, because I saw some of the Cracking the Myths series you did for Russia Today. Mm-hmm. And at one point you actually praise Vladimir Putin for changing the rules of the game. And you say, one by one, Putin brought the oligarchs to heel and wrested political power from them. I mean, that doesn't sound like the muckraker.
Did I praise him, or did I say that he changed the rules of the game? And to be honest, I you know, if you've been around here and you saw what went on under the oligarchs, you would understand, you know, that's actually right. That's the correct way of putting it.
It sounds like you've got Russia in your blood, Mark. What's next for you?
You know, one question is there anything here left for me, even though Russia's in my blood? And I just don't know. I don't know what I can do. But on the other hand, going home to America, it's kind of terrifying for me also. I mean, I worry about an office. Offices scare me, you know.
Mark Ames, the editor of the Moscow-based newspaper The Exile, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.